Lesson 15. The next morning, Kate and Jack awoke to a clap of thunder and the gentle patter of rain falling steadily on the roof. Quickly, they got dressed. A fire was crackling merrily in the fireplace.
A Quaker, hearing a noise in the bushes, stole up cautiously and found the general's horse tied to a tree. A few feet farther away, he beheld Washington kneeling in the snow, praying aloud for his country, with great tears streaming down his cheeks. The good Quaker crept away again unseen, but in telling the story some years later, he remarked that he felt at the time that the Lord would definitely answer the fervent prayer of so good a man. At last the winter broke, and the spring of 1778 came. Out of the Valley Forge marched a new army.
The small group gathered around the warm, glowing fireplace. As the rain pattered on the roof and the wind whistled, Finn opened the book and began reading. Kate wrapped a quilt around her shoulders, and as Finn read, the story seemed to come alive in her mind.
It was a dark night of storm and wind, but the people in the little farm on the western coast of Scotland were accustomed to stormy winds and the sound of waves dashing up the rocky shore. Patrick, a boy of 16, barred the door and shut out the wild night.
As Aunt Sarah closed the book, a low rumble was heard in the distance. Quickly, it grew louder and louder. Jack shaded his eyes and looked up.
Look, it's a helicopter. Look how low it is.
Yes, that's my friend Dr. Tracy.
The fog remained until the last boat had crossed the river. When, later in the day, the British marched into the deserted camp, they found not so much as a crust of bread. Thousands of men with all their supplies and horses had miraculously disappeared.
Will they do it? Dare they do it? Asked the eager throng outside. We will do it, answered the grave men within. And I, said John Hancock, will sign my name so large and free that England's king and all the world can read it. The chamber door was opened. Henry, waiting at the door, was given the signal. Jumping up from the doorway, his eyes sparkling and his yellow hair flying about the little face, he cried, "Ring, Grandpa! Ring! Oh, ring for liberty! Ring!" And there stood the crowd clapping and shouting, "Ring! Ring!" Grasping the rope of the old bell, backward and forward, Henry's grandfather hurled it 100 times.
Jack was standing near the top of the fort when he spotted something large moving in the distance.
Kate, come look at this. There is a bus coming up the road toward Uncle Henry's house. Wait, there are 2 buses. No, there are 3 buses. What in the world is going on?
No, Jack, there are 4 buses all in a row, and they are definitely going to Uncle Henry's house. Look, the first one is slowing down in front of his farm.
Within moments, the 2 children were out of the treehouse and sprinting through the forest.
In years, the baby whom they had so longed for was born. There was surely no happier woman in all the world than Sarah when she held her little son in her arms and Abraham's